offering, just to prepare our hearts for what God has for us in his word. God, we do just thank you for your goodness to us and your love for us. And Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for speaking to us, for not leaving us just blind, but giving us the scriptures. And so we thank you, Lord. I just ask, God, for the leading of your spirit, for the anointing of your spirit to speak through me, and also just to open up our ears, our eyes. God, and I just pray that you would quicken your word to us, God. Let it be life. Let it be transforming. Let it encourage us and strengthen us and help us to grow, Lord, as we walk with you, Father. I just ask your blessing over our time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, this morning, I'm going to share a message. It's called Walking on Water. Amen. How many people want to walk on water, right? What I mean is we're gonna read the passage where Jesus walked on the water, but he wasn't the only one who walked on the water. One of his disciples named Peter also stepped out of the boat and walked. And we're going to use that story for teaching us principles of walking by faith. I think this is one of the best scriptures passages where we can learn various principles and what faith is. We're going to look at things about faith, about what faith is. We're also going to look at some things about what faith isn't. Okay, what faith is and what faith isn't. How to walk by faith. It's in Matthew chapter 14. Starting at verse 22 is where we're going to start. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. But before we, you can turn there, but before we read it, it's important for us to understand that faith is essential to our walk as a Christian. Okay? It's not just the beginning of our journey. It's also continues throughout our journey. All right? We know that we're saved by grace through faith. So we know that faith is an essential element of salvation. We're not saved by our good works. We're saved by the grace of God, and we receive that grace through putting our faith in Jesus and his finished work on the cross. So we know that faith is absolutely essential in our salvation. But we also see that faith is essential in our day-to-day walk with God after our salvation. Okay? Scripture actually says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible to please God without having faith. The scripture says, Paul said this to the Corinthians, he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Meaning that our day-to-day walk as believers requires faith. It requires us to have faith if we're going to walk with God daily. Okay? Therefore, we will often find ourselves in situations that requires us to have faith. And I fully believe that God intends it that way. Okay? God intends for us to be in situations that require us to have faith. Because without faith, we can't please him. Without faith, we can't walk the Christian life. So we're going to look at some of these questions about what is faith, what faith is not, starting in Matthew chapter 14. Let's read. I'll read. You can follow along on the screen there, starting at verse 22. The context here is Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000. And so when it says, in verse 22, it says he's sending the multitudes away. He just finished teaching them for days, feeding them, multiplying the bread, and then he's dismissing them. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." I think we'd be troubled too if we were in a boat, in a storm, and all of a sudden we see somebody walking on the sea. I think that would be troubling. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I believe this story of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water towards Jesus is a very good illustration of how we are called to walk by faith as Christians. And throughout our lives, we'll find different circumstances and different times where, even more than others, we need faith. Okay? We need faith every day just in our daily walk and approaching God. But sometimes we're in circumstances like Peter was in that required a big step of faith. We've heard that term, a step of faith. And a couple things I want to say here is, one, it's remarkable, first of all, that Jesus himself was walking on the water, but it's even more remarkable that Peter actually walked on water. Peter, a human. And now Jesus, who is fully God, fully man, when he was walking on the water, he was doing it as a man, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He did his whole ministry as a man, though he never ceased being God. He did his miracles. He healed people as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so, but it's easy for us to say, okay, yeah, that was Jesus. So of course he could walk on water. But Peter, he was a man, human, just like we are. And yet he stepped out of this boat and he walked on water. How is that possible? We'll look at some factors about that. But the second thing I want to say is that faith is not just a blind step in the dark. Sometimes we think about faith being just some blind risk. Now, I want to say there is always risk involved in faith. Faith does involve risk. But it's not just a blind shot in the dark. I'm just going to step out in the middle of nowhere and just hope that I land. See, there's a difference between hope and faith, and sometimes we confuse those two, okay? And so it's not just a blind shot in the dark. Sometimes that's how we think about faith, but that's not truly what faith is, as we'll see here, okay? Now I have three main points here about faith. Number one, faith grows out of a relationship with God, okay? In verse 28, in that scripture passage, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." If it is you. See, Peter had a relationship with Jesus. He'd been walking with Jesus for some time now. He had witnessed his miracles and his teachings, and he had spent time with him. And so he had a relationship. Peter had a relationship with Jesus, so to the point that he knew he could trust him. So he says, "Jesus, if that's you, then call me out. If that's you, then have me step out of the water." You see, it was founded on the relationship that he had with him first. I remember several years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, when my wife and I were coming to a certain decision point in our journey with God, and we were in a situation where we needed to step out on something. And basically, we're in a transition, and we felt led to move on from a position that I had, and we didn't know what was next, but we knew it was time to go. So people cautioned us and said, well, why don't you at least wait till you have something else lined up before you go, etc. And, you know, we weighed everything. We got counsel. We prayed, etc. But we knew that God was calling us to take the step before the next step was apparent. And I remember praying one time. I was in a worship service, and I was praying and asking God for, God, give me a word. God, show me what's next. You know, what are we supposed to do here? And we were within weeks of this transition. And I felt like the Lord impressed upon me this word. And he said, just stay close to the shepherd. That was what came right into my heart. I'm worshiping. I'm saying, God, what's next? God, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And I just feel like he just spoke into my heart. Just stay close to the shepherd. In other words, Jesus is the good shepherd. And what he was saying to me was, if you will stay close enough to me, you'll get to where you need to go. See, if you will focus on the relationship, if you'll focus on getting to know me, getting close to me, following me, you'll get to where you need to go. It's like if you were to leave this parking lot today after church and you're going to follow somebody to a restaurant. Well, you've never been to the restaurant. Well, you don't need to know where it is or how to get there if you stay close to the person you're following and they do know where to go, right? If you follow them, you will get there, okay? So sometimes a step of faith means we're just going to stay close enough to Jesus to know that he's going to direct us. He's going to order our steps. And I'll be honest. Most often, I have found that the way God leads us is more like a GPS than like a map. Okay? When you have a map, you can see the whole thing. You can see, okay, I'm going to go 10 miles on this road. I'm going to turn left here. Then I'm going to go this way for 5 miles. Right? When you have a map, when you have a GPS, you're just kind of like, you see, okay, turn left now, and you just go. Right? You don't see the whole picture. You just have to follow step by step. Okay? And that's often how God leads. But faith grows out of relationship with God. Okay? As we grow in knowing who God is, as we build a relationship with him, a history with him, we see his faithfulness. We see how he comes through. We begin to know his attributes, that he is love, that he is good, that he is just, that he is true. We begin to understand more about him and know him personally. And that is the foundation of where true faith can spring from. Basically, Peter was saying, God, is this really you? Because if it's you, I'm going. You see? It's important that, you know, as we take steps in different directions, and it's important to know, God, is this you? Is it you? If it is, I trust you, and I'm going to go. All right? I'm going to take a step of faith. You see, faith outside of relationship. This is important. Faith outside of relationship with God becomes a formula. Faith outside of the context of a relationship with God, growing and developing, becomes a formula. Well, if I just say the right words, then I can get this. Or if I just follow these principles, this will happen. Okay? Faith is not a formula. Faith is not simply, you know, positive thinking. Okay? It's not simply saying the right words. Okay, it's not the law of attraction or the secret or some other, things like that. And some of those things are very valid. You know, it's very important thinking the right thoughts, saying the right things. Those things can be very important. But if you just take the principles outside of the relationship, then it's more of a formula. And it almost borders on magic, trying to kind of use a formula and trying to use faith in a way to kind of just manipulate things. Okay. Paul the Apostle, he said, he made this statement. He said, "I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. See, relationship. I know him. And I am persuaded that he is able. See, why was he persuaded? Because he knew him. Because he walked with him. So it's not just about what we believe, but who? Him, God, who we believe. Okay? Jesus, so Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. And because he knew it was Jesus, he thought, well, then I can do this too. He thought, okay, why? Because he's a disciple of Jesus. The disciple is supposed to do what the master does. You see, Jesus did what he saw his Father doing. So he ministered out of relationship. He performed miracles out of relationship. He saw what the Father was doing, and he did it. Peter's doing the same thing. He sees what Jesus is doing, and then that gives him faith to do it as well. So genuine faith grows in the context of relationships. The second thing I want to point out about faith is that faith comes by hearing God's word. Comes by hearing God's word. Notice in verse 29, verse 28, you know, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. What is Peter saying? Give me a word. I need a word. Right? Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see? That one little word, come, gave Peter faith to step out onto the water. Scripture says, Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, Peter was literally, he was held up by the word of God. The word of God is more powerful than any law of gravity or anything else. Any physical law, anything else. And so Peter steps out of the boat, and he did it at the word of Jesus. And I believe that's why he was held up as he walked. Because he wasn't, see, it's not a step in the dark, it's a step at God's word. There's a difference there. He wasn't just stepping out because he wanted to, he was stepping out because he heard Jesus say it. Okay? So, faith outside of the word, see, I said faith outside of relationship can turn into a formula. Faith outside of the word can become presumption. There can be a very fine line between genuine faith and presumption or assumption. Okay, I remember when I was living in Louisiana, and I was a Bible teacher at a Christian school, and one of my classes was called Bible and Musical Arts. It was a worship class where we trained the students in that class to lead worship for the weekly chapel service, and so we'd practice various songs, you know, every week we'd practice songs and we'd learn about worship. And then during the weekly chapel service, we would be the band to lead worship. And I remember one day we were practicing a certain song, and we weren't ready for it. We just didn't have it down yet. I mean, it was newer. The team didn't really know it that well. And didn't flow well together. And so we weren't ready to do it yet. And so chapel day came, and we were practicing before. And I remember one of the students, and I said, you know what, let's hold off on that one. We'll do that when we're, he said, they called me coach because I coach football. He said, Coach Kale, where's your faith? Jesus said, if you have a faith like a mustard seed, you can, you know. And I said, Jacob, his name is Jacob. There's a fine line between faith and presumption, okay? There's a fine line between faith and presumption. Now, here's the difference, though. Listen, if the Holy Spirit would have spoke to me and said, do that song, then it would have been faith to step out and do it. And I believe God would have given the grace, and it would have come together, and it would have worked. You see, Sometimes the difference between faith and presumption is the word of the Lord. Faith is based on what God is saying. The logos, what is written in the scriptures, and the rhema, these are two different words in the Greek for the word word. One is logos, and it refers primarily to the written scriptures, the word of God. And then there's a word called rhema, which it refers more to an immediate, God's immediate voice. What is God saying this moment? And it's always in line with his written word, and sometimes, often, it's even a portion of the word. Okay? But see, the difference between faith and presumption is the word of God. Okay? Is what did God say? Here's a great illustration. I thought of this. Interesting story. Fascinating story. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is about the prophet Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17. It's in the Old Testament. It says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, Ahab's the king of Israel, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, so here's the word of the Lord to Elijah, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Fascinating word. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. God can feed you using the ravens. But if Elijah wouldn't have gotten that word, now, so if we did this, if we said, okay, I'm going to go, okay, God, the ravens can feed me. I'm going to go move to the desert and, okay, God, command the ravens to feed me, okay? See, if Elijah wouldn't have gotten a word from God, that would have been presumption. But because he got a word from God, it was faith. Now, it still required risk. Because you're like, wait, God, what are you talking about? Ravens are going to feed me? I mean, I know you're God, but this is a little bit weird. This is a little bit out there, right? So it requires risk. It requires faith. It's still faith. But see, genuine faith is based on the word of God. Not just what we want. Okay? Not just what we want. It's not just faith to say, well, I want a raise. I claim a raise in Jesus' name. That is not faith necessarily. Now, it can be. See, there can be a fine line. There can be a fine line. That can be genuine faith if it's really based on what God is doing and God is saying. I want a new house. God, give me a new house. I want $1 million. Give me $1 million. You see what I'm saying? Because you can take faith and you can turn it into presumption. And that's the difference, is it's based on what God is saying, okay? So faith can really spring out of us hearing God's voice, hearing what God is saying. Peter had the faith to step on the water because Jesus said, come out and do it. That gave him the faith to actually do it. I remember reading the story in Jim Cimbala, pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. He's written some very good books, and one of them is called Fresh Faith. And I remember he told this story in one about his daughter, when I think the daughter was 1 or 2 years old, and they were just getting started in this little poor church in Brooklyn, New York, and they were barely making ends meet as a family, and their daughter had some sort of a growth on their eye. The daughter got some sort of a growth on the eye. They didn't have enough money to take him, to the doctor, or he couldn't imagine trying to get surgery, all this kind of stuff. He was kind of battling all these things. He was praying, he knew that God can heal. He knew that God can heal. He'd seen good people get healed, but yet when you're facing that circumstance, it can be hard to have faith. And so he tells us of the struggle he was having over a couple days, and he prayed for her, and just, but he didn't really have faith. Well, the Sunday morning, towards the end of their worship service, they're just kind of praying and waiting on God, and they're in this kind of atmosphere of worship, and all of a sudden, he has a vision. God gives him a picture, a flash of a vision of the church anointing her with oil and praying for her at the front of the church. So he has this vision. And so he knew immediately, this is what God wants me to do. This is what we're supposed to do. He calls her up. He brings her up. They anoint her with oil. They pray over her. She gets healed miraculously. Okay? But see, the faith came through a rhema word. The faith came through seeing what God wanted to do. And even though God promises us healing in his word, it's there. Sometimes it's really hard to believe when we don't have that immediate word there. Okay? So faith comes from relationship with God, comes by hearing God's word. When we get revelation from God, it brings faith. And then the third point here is that faith is sustained by looking at Jesus, looking to Jesus. Faith is sustained as we look to Jesus. So Peter is walking out on the boat. He gets a word from Jesus that says, you can do it, come out. He starts stepping out. He's literally walking on the water. And then verse 30, it says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. What happened? He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he looked at the circumstances, and he probably thought to himself, what on earth am I doing here? What am I? Am I crazy? Okay? I mean, it says there's a storm, so it's not only is he walking on water, right, defying laws of gravity, but it says it's windy, it's stormy, and he probably, once he got a few steps out there, doesn't say how far he went, but we know he took some steps on the water. It was almost like he came to his senses. You know, like, what am I doing? I'm going to drown. What's going on here? I should know better than this. What am I thinking? This is the dumbest thing I've ever done. I mean, I can just imagine these things that are going through Peter's mind. When he saw the circumstances, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused it on the circumstances, he saw the wind blowing. You see, we can't fix our gaze in more than one place at a time. So when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he saw the circumstances, his faith began to go. And it says he was afraid. He was afraid. Fear is one of the biggest enemies to faith. It's like an opposite attribute. Fear is an opposite attribute than faith. Fear and doubt are the biggest enemies of genuine faith. And so when he began to look at his circumstances and he saw the wind and he realized, here I am standing on water, out in the middle of nowhere, I'm going to sink, what's going to happen to me? All of a sudden, his faith gets depleted, he begins to be afraid, and he starts sinking. Okay, now before we try to be judgmental on Peter, let's remember that he's the only one who actually got out of the boat and took some steps. And I don't know that any of us have ever done that yet. So he did pretty good. He did pretty good, right? And Jesus pulled him up. Jesus wasn't going to let him drown, right? He picked him up and pulled him out of that. But this teaches us something, that if we fix our eyes on impossible circumstances or on daunting circumstances or on negative things, things that are around us, we're not going to be able to have faith. Okay? And it's not that we deny the circumstances. Okay? You don't just deny the fact that there's a law of gravity and that, hey, I shouldn't be able to walk on water. You don't just deny the fact that there's a financial problem or there's a sickness or an issue that you're facing. You don't deny it, but you don't fixate on it. You have to look past it. As long as Peter was looking past the wind and the waves and the storm and looking at Jesus, he was fine. It didn't deny the fact that those things were there. But he wasn't affected by it because his eyes weren't there. His eyes were on Jesus. It says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author, means the originator and the finisher of our faith. You see, Peter missed the second part of that because he took his eyes off of Jesus. He let Jesus be the author of the faith. Come on, Peter, step out. That sprang faith up in him, but not the finisher of the faith because he didn't look unto Jesus the whole time. See, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says of, I believe it says this of Moses, that he saw him who was invisible. It says that he was sustained, seeing him who was invisible. It says, fix your eyes on things that are unseen. Not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. You see, the fact of the matter is, faith and fear really both have to do with belief. What do you believe? I can't remember if it was, I think it was Bill Johnson who said, fear is faith in the devil. Okay? It still requires belief. But you're believing in the wrong thing. You're believing in the wrong reality. Okay? So, faith is, I said this earlier at the beginning, faith is not just a blind step. Peter wasn't just taking a blind step. He had a relationship with Jesus. He knew he could trust him, and he had his word. And see, that's what real faith is built on. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay? Faith has a substance. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. There is a substance to faith. It is based on something. And so even though to everybody else, it looks like you're just taking a shot in the dark. Looks like you're just stepping out into nowhere land and who knows if you're going to make it. But if you've heard God's word, you're not. You're stepping out on his word. And it's faithful. You see, I can understand why it gets confused with just a blind hope or a blind belief, but that's not what it is. Faith is based on superior realities than natural circumstances. God's word is superior to our natural circumstances. Heavenly realities are superior to natural realities. And the more we see, the more we see of the kingdom of God and of Jesus and of his word, the more we walk by faith in those superior realities. Okay? When Jesus was performing miracles, it says that he did what he saw the Father doing. So to everybody else, it looked like, man, this is crazy. How are you doing this? To him, it looked like, I'm just imitating my dad. I'm just imitating my father. I'm just doing what I see him doing. Just like every child does. Our little son, it's hilarious. He tries to imitate almost everything I do. It's really amazing. Any of you who have children know, understand this, I'm sure. But just the other day, we were eating, where were we? We were eating at a restaurant, and I was dipping my, I picked up, I was eating French fries and chicken fingers and probably stuff that's not very good to eat. But at one point towards the end, I picked up my little ketchup cup thing, you know, they have at restaurants. I picked it up and I dipped a fry in it, and I ate it. And literally, immediately, Jude picks up his ketchup cup, takes a fry, and dips it in the same way I did. He's 2 years old. And that's what he does. That's what kids do. I mean, it melts your heart. I mean, it's amazing. But yet, that's what Jesus was doing when he was performing his miracles. He said, I do what I see my Father doing. So to everybody else, it's like faith looks like a step in the dark. But to you, it looks like I'm trusting God. I know what he has said. I know that he's leading me. I'm following the shepherd. I'm staying close to him. See? And if we follow these guidelines, we can avoid some of the extremes of a formula or of presumption or of just kind of a blind hope, okay? If we follow some of these guidelines that we learn from the scripture of Peter, I think it will help us to have a genuine faith that is solid, that's built on the relationship, that's built on his word. Kind of bring this to a close, Antonio, if you could come up here. This part about looking unto Jesus is so important because there are times when our circumstances will be opposite, they'll contradict God's word to us. Okay? There are times when our circumstances, the things around us, things that we're going through, they will contradict what God has said. And that is the point where we will only be sustained if we look to Jesus. When the circumstances are opposite to what God has said, the only way we'll be sustained is if we look at Jesus. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph, this principle is throughout Scripture, that when you receive a word from God, oftentimes the first thing that will happen is the opposite of what God just said. That will happen. It's in the Scripture, and I'm not saying it happens every time. Joseph in the Old Testament, he gets a dream from God. It's a rhema. It's a word from God. And in the dream, he sees himself as a ruler. And even his brothers are bowing down to him and worship and paying honor, homage, respect, because he's a ruler. That's his destiny. That's his prophetic word. What happens next? He becomes a slave. That's the next part of the journey. His brothers, they're jealous of him. They sell him to slave traders. He gets taken to Egypt, and he becomes a slave. But wait a second, God, you said I was going to be a ruler. Why am I a slave? What do you do? What do you do when your circumstances contradict the word of God? Moses. God gives Moses a word. Thus saith the Lord, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may worship me. What is Moses reluctantly obeys, argues with God for a few verses, but finally he goes with the word of the Lord. He wasn't being presumptuous like he was 40 years earlier when he tried to do it on his own. It says he tried to be a deliverer of Israel earlier. Now he's doing it with God's backing, with God's authority, with God's word. God says, I've come down to deliver my people. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. What happens? Pharaoh says, no. Worse yet, Pharaoh says, because you had the nerve to do this, now you have to make bricks without straw. Now you have to increase your margin. You have to produce more with less. That's what you get, Moses, for trying to come to me and take away my slaves. But God, I thought you said, go to Pharaoh and you'll let my people go. What's the deal, right? Guess what? The circumstances contradicted the very thing God said. What do? See, it says Moses believed God. He was sustained seeing him who was invisible. When Joseph, there's a psalm, and I don't know it offhand because I wasn't thinking about this before. I didn't write it down, but there's a psalm somewhere around 105 maybe. But it says this about Joseph. It says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Think about that. Until the time that his word from God came to pass, until the time that his vision, his dream came to pass, the word of God tested him. Joseph, can you be faithful as a slave? Joseph, can you be faithful in the prison? That's what happened next. It got worse. It got a lot worse before it got better for Joseph. He could have quoted whatever positive affirmation he wanted to. He wasn't getting out of that prison until it was time. It was God's time. And don't get me wrong. I'm all about speaking the word and thinking the right way. But it's a relationship, you see, and it's a process. We can't just make it a formula. I really just feel like God is using this part here to speak to some people right now. This whole idea of how our circumstances can contradict God's word, and what do we do in that time? I want to stand up and just kind of see how God wants to maybe close our time here together. Part of our walk with God, and part of learning to walk by faith, is learning to discern the voice of God. I've been presumptuous. I've taken steps that I thought, okay, God's going to do this. Okay, no, he didn't. And we learn. We learn from every step. We learn from every step we take, and hearing God's voice. There have been times like this, like the circumstance I mentioned earlier, when we were stepping out, and we knew that God, that it was God. God had said, God had led us, and we saw his faithfulness. And we knew that we weren't just stepping out onto nothing, and we saw his provision. But it's a process. Walking by faith is a process. It's a process. Because it's a relationship. Faith, it's almost, faith becomes a knowing, you see, when it's real faith and not just a hope or a thought or a presumption. Really, faith has the quality of a knowing that what God is going to do and what's going to happen. It's almost like a sixth sense. It's almost like you see it right before it happens, just like Jim Cimbala's daughter being healed. See, it's a knowing. Father, we come into your presence here, Lord. We acknowledge your presence through the precious blood of Jesus, God. We're here. Holy Spirit, I ask you to breathe right now. Breathe upon your word. Breathe upon your word right now, God. God, I thank you for your word, for your scriptures, your written word. But Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings it to life, for the rhema. God, I ask right now that you would just speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts right now, Father. God, your word says to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, to grow in our faith. God, we've been given a measure of faith. You tell us to exercise it, to grow in it. And God, I pray specifically right now for those in this room whose circumstances are contradicting what you have said to them for a season. God, very often there's a time of testing between the promise and the fulfillment. Very often there's a time of testing. I ask grace right now, Lord, over those who are in the time of testing. God, the word of the Lord is testing them. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your circumstances, or are you going to believe the word of God? The enemy is whispering, Lord, in people's ears, saying, look, God let you down. You believed him, and now look what's happening. Father, in Jesus' name, I just declare grace and strengthening into our hearts, into our spirits. And Lord, like I said, especially those who are facing circumstances that are contradicting the very things you have said in your written word and in prophetic words and visions and dreams. And God, I thank you that you are faithful, that you are true, that you are trustworthy, and that you will do what you've said you would do. God, your word says in Jeremiah that you watch over your word to perform it. God, that you will perform the things you have said. You will follow through, God, in the things that you have said. God, everything that you've said to us, you're watching over it to bring it to pass, to bring it to fruition. So in Jesus' name, Lord, strengthen our spirits. Strengthen our hearts right now. To fix our eyes on you, Jesus, to be sustained in the time of testing. I want to open the altars, and I want to pray specifically for those who are in the time of testing, where you're in between the promise and the fulfillment. Your circumstances are contradicting the word that God's given you in the scriptures or in your personal life, and you just need strengthening. You need grace. I want to pray for those who are like Joseph, that you're in the prison. So as we close the service, I'm just going to open up the altars for anybody who needs prayer. If you need prayer for any reason at all, please come and receive prayer. But specifically, I want to pray for those who are in need of strengthening in their faith, where you see that your circumstances are not where you want them to be, and you're facing that battle. So, Father, we just commit this time to you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see you, Lord. Help us to hear your word. Help us to hear your word, Lord. To know that we're stepping out on your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to open it up for prayer, and then if you're dismissed, if you need to go, if you want to stay and worship, if you want to stay and receive prayer, or just want to linger for a while, you're welcome to. If you need to go, you're dismissed. God bless you. And we love you, and we'll see you soon.